Hello, this is your host, Belle Shavey speaking. Welcome to the very first episode of the Morrison Family Center for Student Wellbeing's new podcast, WellCat 101. The purpose of this podcast is to give students an opportunity to share their college experiences, their advice, or interesting anecdotes for listeners who are students, staff, parents, etc. Each episode topic will be related to student well-being and or mental health through the lens of positivity and growth. We hope you enjoy our very first episode of WellCat 101.
Hey guys! Welcome to the very first episode of the Morrison Family Center for Student Wellbeing's new podcast, WellCat 101. I'm your host, Belle Shavey, and to preface our first episode, I'll give a little explanation of our thought process behind this new student-led project. We wanted to give students a platform to voice their experiences and provide advice to college students or students who are in the process of starting their college experience. And the goal for this is to feel less like an interview and more like students having conversations about life in college, tips for academia, sharing stories, and providing a feeling of connectedness in shared experiences. I don't want to shy away from conversations that may venture into heavy topics. However, each episode will end on a positive note because leading with positivity is always a great way to go. So without further ado, here with me today as guests on our very first podcast is...
Oh, I'm saying my own name. Yes. Okay. My name is Emmett Spa. I'm a junior in theater.
And I'm Kieran Boger. I'm a junior in psychology.
And I am Belle Shavey, and I'm a sophomore in theater and psychology.
Whoa.
I didn't tell you guys that. I just declared a second major in psychology.
Oh my gosh, we're twins.
Yes. Okay. So to kind of start us off and break the ice a little bit, Emmett and I know this because Emmett is on the K-State Theater Organization board with me. We always start every meeting with like an intro question. So my intro question for today is, would you rather be able to speak every language fluently or understand every animal sound?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes, of course, always.
Am I capable of communicating back to the animals? Like, can I speak animal?
Yes.
Or am I just understanding?
That's kind of my interpretation of the question is like, it's you would be able to understand them.
Okay.
I'm going to pick animals. I would love to be like a Dr. Doolittle type figure.
Yeah.
If I could like ride a rhinoceros like to work every day.
Save so much on transport.
Yeah, wait, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pollution would go down.
Exactly. I'm an eco warrior.
You are.
I need like a monkey thought translator. Yes. Like that was my first
banana,
thought.
Banana.
Yes. When seeing this question, I thought of Up with the dogs.
The collar.
Yes.
Doug. I love Doug. I think I would have to go languages on this one. I must say, like, I don't know. I feel like speaking multiple languages is just such a flex.
Yeah.
They don't need to know that it. I just know it, you know? I think that'd be so cool.
Yeah. And all the places you could travel without like having to prepare.
I think I could travel anywhere if I had an army of hawks that was like willing to like come pick me up. So let's not discount the power of animals.
All right. You can have your hawks.
Yeah.
You can have your hawks. It's like giant wings.
Yeah.
Yes. The wind beneath your wings.
Mm-hmm. Would you get around on campus that way? Like,
yeah, I think I would.
I feel like you'd make really good friends with the squirrels.
No.
The campus squirrels.
I've seen the Instagram page that's popped up. Have you guys seen the K-State campus squirrels?
Yes.
No, what?
They have
official
a whole page.
Documentation. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I need that in my life.
Yes. It was probably my first semester at K-State. I was walking. I think I was walking to finals. I saw a squirrel that like, I've never seen a squirrel like have stuffed cheeks of like acorns. It's real, guys. Yes. They really do that.
That one read the book.
That one knew how to be a squirrel.
Yes.
He read the manual.
It was great. I think a lot of the campus squirrels don't read the manual.
No.
They don't know how to be squirrels.
They just like walk up to you.
They do. Yeah. They're very like, have you seen the human dogs thing?
Yes.
The campus squirrels are human squirrels.
No, you're so right. Mm. They'll just walk up to you. Like normally squirrels, at least in my hometown, they would get spooked if you kind of got close to them. Mm. But yeah. Like these, what they don't get spooked. I get spooked by them.
I've ran from one before.
That's real. Campus squirrels.
Yes.
I love that. So to transition into today's topic, we kind of thought it would be a good topic for our very first episode to do something a little bit more broad, something that is kind of relatable for all student or non-student listeners, which is how to find your community and mm-hmm. how to find connection when you're first coming to college or into a new environment. A lot of college students that I talk to and a lot of our surveys that come back from Morrison Family Center report that students are feeling, they're feeling lonely, and that's mm-hmm. totally normal. I think that there's kind of this illusion that being in college has to be the best years of your life and it has to be fun all of the time. But nothing is fun all of the time, but the way that people present themselves on social media, myself included, and mm-hmm. the way that, you know, it's so promoted to find a group of friends or to be with people 24/7 when you're in college. And that's just, I don't know, it's not the reality. So to kind of just dive in head first, I was wondering if either of you could kind of share your experience of what it was like coming to college. Well, first, talk about what you're involved in. Either one of you can go first.
Yeah, I'm currently involved in a student organization called Can Dance. So I'm also a dance major. So we do a lot of dance events, community events, things like that. And then I'm a resident assistant on campus. So pretty involved in like res life and activities we do there.
And then let's see, I'm part of, as Belle mentioned, the K-State Theater Organization, On the Spot Improv, lovely group of people, as well as I did actually, Belle, I don't know if I've told you this, we started our own film club on campus just so we could qualify to do one of the most recent 48-hour film festivals. So I am the president of the Red Herring Film Club. That's something.
So how do you join the Red Herring Film Club? For a friend.
Do you want in?
Yes.
Because I've just, when people say they want to join, I just say, we will give you an honorary title. Like we have a sergeant at arms. We have a quartermaster. We will just give people whatever, like, oh, we like looked up the Wikipedia page and we were just like scrolling down like, oh, proto deacon. Okay. You are the proto deacon.
Yes. So what is this film club for? Like what do you guys do?
So, well, I hate to oversimplify, but we just make films.
Nice.
It's a really nice outlet. This is the same group that when I did the 48-hour film festival this last spring, this is that group. And so we're just like, that was pretty fun. Why don't we do it again? Why don't we find an excuse to do it again? And so we made Red Herring Film Club.
Yeah. So all of you listening who like to make short films, Red Herring Film Club.
Talk to me.
talk to Emmett Spa.
Spa@ksu.edu.
There you go. Subtle plug. Oh, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, you guys are both very, very involved. Can you talk a little bit about, like, I guess, how did you find out where to get involved or how? Like, what are the avenues of maybe a friend of a friend or maybe a social media? Like what would be a place for students to go to see what they can do here?
Yeah, I know as a freshman, I was encouraged by my resident assistant to like get on Org Central and go to the like beginning of the year. They have this like club and organizations like get together at the union where you can like walk around and look at all of them. And that was really intimidating to me. There was a lot of people there and I wasn't really into it, but I found out about my organization through a friend, since I was in the dance program. But I will say like now that I am like, a junior and like more established, I would definitely recommend Org Central and going to the big like organization event because they have so many options. Like you can find a club for just about anything that you're interested in, but I definitely heard about it through friends.
I'm gonna go ahead. I completely forgot to mention in my thing that I'm also an RA. We both are.
Yay!
We both are A's.
You're done. I'm just kidding.
Get him out of here.
This is my first podcast, please. I'm going to pull the residence hall card because I'm not going to lie. I was very reclusive my freshman year. I didn't actually get out a whole lot. I had like a small group of friends that I like, you know, we took care of each other, but I didn't get out and touch grass that frequently. And what really helped my sophomore year is just hanging out with my floor. Like I found like I really meshed with that group of people. And they came from very different walks of life. Like, we had band kids, we had like ag kids, we had basically everywhere across campus kids. And so they knew about so many events. And I will throw in a disclaimer. You might not mesh with your floor, but there is nothing stopping you from finding another floor to hang out with, which is something that I know a lot of my floor people do, something that I did last year just because I really enjoyed seeing the different groups of people that you find in residence halls. So I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. I know I have a lot of honorary fourth floor members on my floor because a lot of people like – especially like it depends on the floor and the building and the RA, but I feel like you definitely find like a community there too. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things like that sounds really silly. You're like, oh, hang out with my floor, but like it can actually be a lot of fun. I have had like the silliest, most goofy conversations and like best times with my floor as an RA. Mm-hmm. So,
well, like we met on our floor.
We did.
Fun fact about Kieran and I, we lived next to each other our first year of college. And our floor was, we lived on the first floor of Marlatt, and first floor doesn't have a lobby because, which is kind of sad because.
It's just the entryway.
Yeah, it's just the entryway. So
you can hang out in the doorway,
Yeah. There's a TV in there, but it's never on. And so we would frequently, we would go down to the basement, but that's also where kind of all the laundry was. And that's where like all of the, like there was like a workout room down there and a music room that I was in frequently. But yeah, I to piggyback off of your idea of going up to different floors and to like mingling with the people that you live with. And like you said, you're not always going to click with the people that you live around, but it is certainly a good place to start because you're at least talking to people or talking to your RAs. Shout out. And it's a really good, I had a very good RA my first year of college because she implemented like every day at like 5 o'clock, we would go and do floor dinner.
Flinner.
Love Flinner.
In Kramer. And did I go every time? No. But, and at first I was really afraid to because I was like, that's kind of cheesy going to dinner with your college floor. But Flinner was some of my favorite times ever because you got to know your RAs who are generally pretty cool people, or at least people that know what's going on. If you have questions about anything, they're there to answer them. And also eating alone in the dining hall can be really intimidating. That's something I was really afraid of, which is, it seems like a silly thing to be afraid of, but it's, I mean, I know lots of people who were scared to eat in the dining hall by themselves. And so you never had to eat dinner by yourself. You always had conversation. And most of the people that I ate floor dinner with, I didn't really see outside of floor dinner, but it was still fun to go. I went with my roommate. But if you're someone who maybe isn't that close with your roommate or doesn't have a roommate, that you can, you have people to eat with and you can go. That was some of my favorite memories doing that. And it also encouraged making that time and space to eat dinner and to have that time to just sit and not do homework, because that was another thing that I learned when coming to college is it's hard to find times to do simple things like eat or take a break and instead of just feeling like you have to be running around all the time. So yeah, that's a really good suggestion of a good place to start is your residence halls. But I wanted to talk to Emmett about on the spot, because you said that you were quite someone who wasn't the most outgoing. For those of you who don't know, Emmett can explain a little bit more. On the Spot is an improv group here at K-State. And
The premier. Or at least I think we're the only group on campus. Please, someone can fact check this podcast if I'm wrong.
Yes, we'll have it in the corner. Just to talk about, you said you were, it's so strange because I met you after you were already in on the spot and thinking of who you are and how outgoing you seem right now versus you saying that you have, maybe struggled a little bit with leaving your dorm room when you were a freshman. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'll say my first year, I'm similar to who I am now, but like back then I definitely just had my roommate. Shout out Zane Pearson. Love that man so much. I owe him a lot because he really, like, having at least one person that you know that you can always talk to that will be there for you is so nice. And I got so lucky that that person was my roommate, because like being able to have an outlet for your first year is great. And so I don't know, that was my, before I met my department, I had that little two-person community in Moore Hall, floor two. But yeah, I tried out for On the Spot the first time, was rejected. That's where my villain origin story started.
And then arc.
Yeah, Emmett's a villain, fun fact.
Oh, absolutely. Very malicious. Yeah, but then, I don't know quite how to detail my own process of how you grow, because I think that's something that's very difficult to quantify, but I don't know. I learned to interact with my department, which I think was so helpful, because I sort of had the idea of like, oh, I go do classes here and then I'm gone. Mm-hmm. When I absolutely had the time to go hang out with the people in my department, and it's only about, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through my first year where I realized if time allows, it is so much fun to just go spend time with the people who are in the same major as you. Like, mm-hmm. if they're also there, they're going to be like-minded. And so, I don't know, meeting the department and being able to start working with them on stuff was definitely a pivotal experience, because I know, like, as a playwright, I do so many just, like, project-based things throughout the year. And having that support system of my department has been super helpful.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Kieran, have you, like, do you have any, I don't know, advice isn't the right word, but talking about like, it's sometimes difficult to have those people that you see in class and then ask them to hang out outside of class, especially when you're new mm-hmm. and you don't know anybody. You're like, I don't, you know, me and this person get really, you know, we vibe a lot in class together. Yeah. And so how do you transfer that to outside of the classroom?
That's such a good question. I know it was definitely a skill I still work on, but definitely had to grow with. I know like my dance, I think what you said about growing with your department is so important, because now I'm so close to my dance people, but I was not at first. Like, it took me a while to come out of my shell, which is crazy because outside of dance, I was pretty social even. And so I think a lot of it for me came with like learning how to spend quality time in the studio or in the classroom with them, like listening to them fully and like responding to them fully, you know, if that makes sense, and just getting closer with them in that sense. And I think an important thing to realize is like the worst they can say is no. And so the worst that can happen is you're just not hanging out with them like you were before. But I think one of the most common things I see now, especially as an RA, is a lot of people want to hang out and want to talk, but no one wants to start the conversation. And so if you can be the person to start the conversation, 9 times out of 10, you're solid, you're golden, and you'll be able to hang out and like form a really good bond with someone.
That is awesome advice. And I know that all of us are kind of in departments, like theater department and dance department, that are a little bit smaller departments on campus. And mm-hmm. so our experience of connecting with people, we see the same people in different classes, but like my friends that are engineering majors or ag majors that are in classes and lecture halls with, you know, 100 so people, it's hard to connect with them outside of class. And so I really liked what you said about just starting the conversation.
100%.
Or even like one of my friends, he took a sociology class, and they had to watch a movie for the sociology class outside of class. Mm-hmm. And they all kind of were like, we don't know when we have time to watch this thing. But to motivate themselves to do it, they were like, why don't we all just watch it together and make it fun? Because, I mean, it's sociology. It's not, you're not always watching the most fun movies in a sociology class if that's not something that interests you. And they were all, none of them were sociology majors. And so they were like, we're taking this class for a gen ed. They made a group chat. They made it happen. And like just last week, he went to the birthday party of one of the people in that group. And so that opens your avenue to getting to go to other events with those same people. Are they like best friends? I don't know, maybe, but they're people that you can see and hang out with when you're feeling, maybe feeling alone or maybe wanting something to do or craving social connection. So that's really, I like that point that you made.
Yeah, for sure.
So I wanted to kind of pivot and maybe talk about, I know we already kind of talked about your guys' experiences coming to college, but like, what were some fears that you had coming in? You guys are both at least sophomores, second years in college. But think back to when you were freshmen, first moving into your dorms. What were some of your big fears, and are they still relevant in your life now, or were some of them kind of silly? I want to pick your brains and see what you guys were afraid of versus how they panned out.
I know I was so terrified that I would have no friends, like none at all, which is crazy, but I was terrified. And so I maybe over-socialized those first 2 weeks of college. Belle, you were there, you know.
I was there, and I was also over-socializing. I was just saying hi to everyone.
Yes, and like, don't get me wrong, saying hi to everyone, like getting people's contacts, never a bad thing. But I think I fell really easily into the stress of feeling like I needed to hang out all the time with everyone, and I needed to connect 24/7 with people. And then I kind of burnt myself out after 2 weeks, and I was like, now I just don't want to talk to anyone and hide in my room.
Yeah.
Which was difficult, but I think like eventually finding the people who stuck around, mm-hmm. and who I didn't have to reach out to first anymore, who would still come talk to me, like I think that's where I found the people that I wanted to spend my time with. So eventually I found my friends, and I found the group that I could I still call my friends today.
Yeah. And that takes time. Mm-hmm. That's something I also noticed in myself is that, again, there's this, for some reason, whether it's social media or High School Musical or, movies and media that depict the way that college is supposed to be, or that even high school is supposed to be, just school, that you're supposed to, that you immediately have a group. I mean, no, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All of the, I mean, it's like the Breakfast Club. There's always, everybody's got a group, but that's not the way that it works in real life. And you're not going to go to college and immediately have a group. Although it might look like other people find their groups really fast. And some people do, but a lot of the time it's a maybe more common experience for it to be maybe you don't have a solid group for the first couple months of college, but then gradually the more you get to know people, the more you hang out with people, then it kind of just does become normal for you to hang out with the same people. And you can always branch out and meet new people. You don't have to stick to the same people you meet the first 2 weeks of college. Like you said, I met so many people the first few weeks of college mm-hmm. that I maybe still have on social media, but I haven't talked to in a long time. And that's so common.
And there definitely is this really weird expectation that like almost every college student comes in with that you touched on, Kieran, which is that you just need to throw yourself at every single opportunity that comes your way in like the first month, which is something that I fell victim to as well. And then I sort of learned I don't need to take this like at a rapid acceleration the second I get to college. I can pick up incrementally what I want to do. So it's like, I'm going to start hanging out with these people. I'm going to do this club. I'm going to do this activity, because I also rushed into everything and I was like, I have 25 hours scheduled in a day, and it just becomes too much. So I feel that.
Real. Yeah. What were some of your fears, anxieties when coming to college?
Oh, that's why I piggybacked off of Kieran's answer. it was that one. I don't know. I think I did enter with this fear that I wouldn't be doing anything, which is what sort of propels that anxiety of like, I need mm-hmm. to go do 3 billion things so I can like feel better.
Mm-hmm.
It will not make you feel better. It will make mm-hmm. you feel worse. And so I don't know. I was scared that I wouldn't have, I don't know, it sounds silly. I was scared I wouldn't have enough to do. You definitely will, because I mean, the wonder of college is you get to pick your workload to an extent. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're in like architecture, hey, hate to break it to you, you're going to be spending time at studio no matter what.
You're going
to
be in that studio at 3 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
I have an architecture cat community on my floor, which has been really interesting.
How are they doing?
They, hey, it's project season. They routinely get back at like 3 a.m.
Yeah. And at say least like, they're in it together. Shout out all you listeners who are architecture majors.
Yes.
We see you. M3, we know.
Seton people. I will say it is really nice. The architecture community, they will get back at like 2 a.m. and then they'll be like, we want to watch movies. And so sometimes I'll like hear something from the lobby and I'll go out there at like 4 a.m. and they're just like watching Jurassic Park or something like that. And I'm like, hey, if that fits with your schedule, honestly, I'm glad that you found a group that will watch Jurassic Park with you at 3 a.m.
Real.
That is such, yeah, that's such a good point of like your community can be people that are in the same classes with you. And it doesn't have to be like your normal conventional of like, because I feel like it's a common feeling to feel like you don't have time to have friends. Mm-hmm. And that might be why, you know, making friends with other people who also feel like they don't have time to have friends, you know, if the only time you have to hang out is 3 a.m. and you find other people who also only have time to hang out at 3 a.m., then hang out at 3 a.m.
What's stopping you?
What is stopping you?
It's all a balance. Like, girl, if you need to go to bed, go to bed.
Yes.
But, like, if you can spend 30 minutes yapping, yeah.
Yes.
Yap at 3 a.m.
100%. There is, my freshman year, my roommate was, she was a journalism major, and I was a theater major. I was a musical theater major doing lots of productions. So, and a lot of the rehearsal times are in the evenings, I was spending a lot of time and hanging out with a lot of people who were in the same productions, but I was spending a lot of evenings with them. And it was hard to sometimes find time to hang out with her because mm-hmm. we were good friends. And it was difficult to find times to spend time with her because she would be home in the evenings and I wouldn't be home in the evenings. But when final season comes around, everyone is up and studying and doing things. And so we would study together. We would yap together at, you know, midnight. And what was that maybe good? I'm not trying to promote people to be sleep deprived. However, don't limit yourself to thinking that you have like that you're hanging out with people has to be the conventional, like, you know, let's hang out for 30 minutes and go and get food. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it doesn't have to be that. It can be spontaneous. It can be studying. It doesn't have to look like you think it quote unquote should look.
100%. I also think it's so important. So my roommate, we still get along great, but last year she was an architecture major. So she was spending lots of time in the studio. And so I would like go to her studio and like bring her snacks or like I'd sit and do my psychology homework while she was working on her project. Not saying like you have to make that effort, but sometimes unconventional ways of like showing that you care for your friends can be like, even if you think it may be silly, like if you have the thought, you should probably just do it. You know what I mean? Like that's such a great way to hang out on someone else's level if they need to get something done.
Yes. And it shows that it's just like the starting the conversation. It yes. shows that reaching out or mm-hmm. like even just, I don't know, if you're someone that struggles starting conversations, doing things like having a pack of gum in your backpack, because you pull out that pack of gum, everybody's going to want to be your friend. You know what I mean? Whether it's real or fake, you'll start conversations with people. And so, yeah, it's just like what you said of if you pick up on what the people around you, the ways that you can help them out, don't, you know, strain yourself and try to, you know, try to be more than you can be, but you know, do make that effort if you have the thought and that you can.
Yeah. And I think one thing, because starting the conversation can be so intimidating, there's this amazing TED Talk. I don't know the woman's name, but I'm sure you've all heard of it. It's like fake it till you become it, the superhero pose girl. She's so real. Okay. Because like, if I'm starting a conversation with someone, I'm probably also very nervous about it, but I know like one of the closest friends, because even for our people who aren't in the residence halls, who when we're like, oh, talk to your floor, and you're like, I don't have a floor. Like even in your classes, if you just start the conversation, like one of my closest friends this semester, I shook her hand and I said hi. And she saw me in our bio class that we had later. This was a totally separate class. And she sat by me because I had shook her hand. And so now we're like really great friends and we hang out at her house and do lots of fun things. So definitely fake your confidence until you have it.
That is solid. That is solid advice. Obviously don't be fake, and if you are feeling burnt out and tired, don't hold up a facade if it hurts you, but faking it till you make it is what I think every single person on the planet does in some way or another. I'm faking it till I make it right now. I'll admit it right now. This is the first time that I've ever recorded a podcast in my whole life. And so I have my notes here, but I'm kind of going on the fly, and that, you know, we're having a really good conversation, I think.
Thank you for putting this together,
by the way. Thank you. Yes, it has been a semester-long little project, and I'm so excited that you guys are here and that can take time out of your very busy schedules to be here, just like we've been talking about busy schedules. The last thing I kind of wanted to touch on was I really liked what you spoke about balance, Kieran, of just like going to college. I'm someone who is introverted more so than extroverted, and I find that when my social battery, I had to figure out ways to recharge it when I came to college. So like when I say social battery, it means just kind of like when you're in public and all of a sudden you feel yourself losing energy, you can't, you know, you can't really form thoughts, think thoughts, you get kind of overstimulated, maybe it's hot in the room, maybe it's cold in the room, and you're just like, I cannot be around people right now. Yeah. Some people have never experienced this feeling, but many people that I've talked to experience this feeling for the first time when they come to college, because if you're in a dorm and you have a roommate, you do have to be around another person even when you go home, which is uncommon for a lot of people before they come to college. So I don't know. I kind of wanted to just start a conversation about how do you find a balance of recharging yourself and taking care of yourself while also not isolating yourself and not missing those opportunities to go out and make friends.
Yeah, I think Belle, you know, because like we're kind of in our friend group as well. Like I am not afraid to say no, I think, when it comes to hanging out. And that's a skill I had to learn. And I think I've learned that just because even though I am a very extroverted person, my social battery runs low. And I think a lot of us extroverts, maybe that's something that's not talked about, because you seem very social and no one could think like, oh, you get tired of people. But I think one of the biggest things that helped me was my roommate and I like were very communicative. Like one of us would come in and we'd be like, no one can talk for like 20 minutes. And
phone in bedtime.
Yes. Like if you need to talk, go somewhere else. Like, you know what I mean? But I think like communication is so important, especially like if you have a roommate. And if you don't have a roommate and it's just you, like letting yourself take a break, even if there's homework to do, even if there's a party to go to, be late to the party. Do your homework in 20 minutes. Set a timer. Like give yourself time to do what makes you happy. Read that book. Watch that YouTube video, you know.
Stare at that wall.
Yes. Like take a shower, eat. Like I feel like it's so important, especially for my planner girlies, like put break time in your planner. And then you can get the dopamine hit from scratching it off your to-do list when you're done.
Yes.
I was going to say making time for yourself is a big one, because I'm like also very extroverted. And there are so many times where I would just love to be talking to like 20 people at once. Mm. And then there are also times where I just want to go rot in my bed for like an hour. Mm. And so what you said about not being afraid to put yourself first is so true. I mean, I always think to myself, I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm wasting time if I take an hour or so for myself. But then I think everything is still going to be there by the time I'm done.
Yes.
No matter how much time you need to take for yourself, the world will still be there for you when you come back.
Yes. And not feeling guilty about taking that time. That's something that I struggled with a lot since coming to college with, you know, you get to choose your workload, but I often overestimate how much I can do. And so do not ever feel, if you take anything away, listeners, from this podcast, do not ever feel like you have to say yes to everything. You can say no, you can set those boundaries. Ultimately, like this entire episode, we've talked about community and connection, and a lot of connecting with people and building your own community involves social interaction. However, what you don't see is that it is all a balance, and that not everyone all the time is being social, having fun, going to that party, going to that club, having, you know what I mean? Going to that club meeting, having all of that stuff. That all of that also requires a balance of taking care of yourself. And I think that that's the main idea from English class of this episode, and main takeaway is just that although finding your community can be a really, really difficult thing. It doesn't have to be, but it can be. And it involves being a little scared, putting forth a little risk. But as we've talked about today, usually that risk, 9 times out of 10, you will find someone with a common interest. And even if it's that 1 time out of 10 where maybe you get rejected and maybe someone tells you no, the worst they can do is say no. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, it probably doesn't mean anything about you as a person. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. And it doesn't mean that nobody will ever say yes to hanging out with you.
Yeah.
So, but going out and interacting socially also does require you to take that time for yourself and to not feel guilty about taking that time for yourself. Because if you say no to plans one time, chances are they're not, the next time they'll still invite you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It can always be like a, hey, not tonight, but maybe next weekend, or yes, hey, let's meet up, let's check back in a few weeks, like kind of a thing. It can always be a not right now, but definitely later.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think that we have kind of covered all of the topics of what we think relates to community and connection. Thank you both so, so much for being here, taking time out of your day to be here and coming and being confident and doing something a little bit out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
So I thank you both for being here, and I really appreciate everyone listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.